Because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. So good to have all of you here. It's good. It's really good to be here. Did I say it was good to be here? It's good to be here. Through many dangerous toils and snares, I have already come. And yet, God... if God's willing, he will lead me on through many more dangerous toils and snares. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you all for being here. So we're going to get into this wonderful lesson today concerning instructions to Paul to the church at Corinth. And we're going to pick up in chapter 8. And I am aware that our author skipped chapter 7, which is the marriage instructional chapter. But today we're going to look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, concern for a weaker brother. Concern for a weaker brother. Chapter 8, Paul, after giving instructions on various topics to include immorality last week. He now moves on to chapter 8 to address another issue, understanding that a considerable portion of first and even second Corinthians is given to various types of instructions as a result of questions that the people at Corinth had. Now, what we find is that there was an issue. I shared with you last week how, you know, in the cultural context of this particular region, where idol worship was very prevalent. And many of the converts in the church of Corinth had come out of pagan and polytheistic worship. And at times, many of those practices bled over into the churches. Worship, you know, where, you know, you've been taught one thing, but you do something else. It's what we term, Deacon Newsom, your orthodoxy versus your orthopraxy. In other words, we don't often do what we've been taught. And many times we simply can't do because we haven't been taught. And that's why, before I even get into the lesson today, I make no apologies for those that want to complain, that want to debate and discuss. I will certainly entertain it, but it's got to be based on the Word of God and not our opinion. We know how you feel about certain subjects, because whenever there's an issue, we can talk about my sin, but we can't talk about your sin. I'll leave it at that. You know, you know how we are. You know, talk about mine, but don't talk about yours. But in the eyes of God, is sin. And one of the issues that Paul had to deal with, also a question that he'd been asked. He asked, "What about those folk whose conscience bothers them when they have to eat meat that was offered in sacrifice in the temple? And especially that meat which had been offered to idols in some cases." Paul says, "I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to deal with it with the help of Sister Bonds, our first reader, Sister Shunta Bonds. We're going to find out how Paul answered the question. And I want each of you to think about, we all have some things, and we'll call, for the sake of discussion, Sister Bonds, we'll call this, we all have some weaknesses. And your weakness may not be my weakness, and my weakness may not be your weakness. But what I think, if you don't get anything out of this lesson today other than this, love conquers all. Mm-hmm. Love will cover my weaknesses. Love will cover your weakness. Sister Bond, let's see what the problem is. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 as we get started in our lesson this morning.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know.
Talk, Sister Bond. Read verse two for me.
And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know.
Paul says, hey, look, I'm glad you asked me this question. But before I address the meat matter, let me give you an overarching principle. He says, now, this thing that you've been discussing and kicking around and falling out about and really misusing your liberty about, it's based on knowledge. And he says, first of all, knowledge puffs up. Mm-hmm. And don't think that Paul is telling you to be ignorant. Don't think that Paul is telling you you should not know. But what Paul is saying here in this opening statement, Sister Dorothy, is that knowledge, for the sake of attaining it, and we talked about that last week, you know, a lot of folk love knowledge. They are addicted to knowledge, but they are allergic to wisdom. And Paul says here, that if you're just gaining information, or because you got an advantage, or I know something you don't know, all you're doing is that just puffs up, that just blows things up. He says, but knowledge is not better than love, because love does not puff up. Love, in fact, edifies. In other words, love doesn't blow you up like a balloon. Love gently fills you. Y'all don't hear. Yeah, you're like that. I see. I saw some lights go on, Bogan. I saw some lights go on. See, just because you know something, and it gives you liberty, doesn't mean, just like Paul talked about it, the area of immorality, is that you shouldn't necessarily use that knowledge to take advantage. What you know, what you think you know. Did you notice Paul says, you think you know? He says, because you really don't know nothing in the grand scheme of things. Only God is omniscient. Nobody on this Zoom call knows everything. We know some things. But you shouldn't use that knowledge to the detriment, and we'll see in the coming verses. You shouldn't use that knowledge to the detriment. You shouldn't use that knowledge to love. Because first of all, if you know God, that's knowledge. And if you know God, God is love. If you have knowledge, you should have love. So, but what is this thing? He says, but if anybody loves God, this one will know him. And if you love God, you know that he has commanded that you love one another. He says, now, we got to deal with this question. He says, but if you think you know everything, if you think you got it going on and there are certain things that you can do because you know it, he says, let me remind you, compared to an infinite God, an all-knowing God, you don't know nothing. And it one of the things that we have to remember is that we're all maturing. Ain't nobody got it all. We're just at various levels and various stages. And knowledge is progressive, but maturation is continuous. And so, yeah, there's some things that you should know by now. And you shouldn't be doing them, or you should be doing them. And there's some things that you still don't yet know. There are some things that will be revealed to you, or you will be illuminated because that knowledge is already out there. But don't use it as a hammer to deal with other people and when they have questions, and especially those that are new in the faith. And sometimes they've been saved for a long time. They just simply haven't been taught. But knowledge is progressive. But love is better than knowledge. Love is better than knowledge. Verse 3.
But if any man love God, the same is known of him.
If any man love God. You see, that's the overarching. What Paul is trying to, before he addresses the specific question, he's trying to get you to know that love is the key. And if you really know God, that's some great knowledge. But if you know God, you should love. Verse 4.
As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. There's only one God. Yeah, you know that, Fred. You know that, Davis. You know that, Sister Burris. You know that. But they understand that people come from various backgrounds. They've been doing something. Something has been ingrained in them. And only the knowledge of God, the saving knowledge that is found in the Word of God, will help them, will move them from that past into their future. But it's a process. And he says, look, concerning this meat issue, let me give you guys a little background. Sister Dorothy, what would happen is that they would have this animal, and basically it would be cut into thirds. For Steve Harmon down in Waycross, Georgia, that means three different pieces. And what would happen? What would happen is that one piece would be burned, the other piece would be given to the priest. The other piece would be given to people that are in the congregation. And so they would take it home and eat. The priest would either eat it, or he would take it to the market and sell it, get money for it, and then it would be sold in the market. As a matter of fact, the best meat of the day could be found in the temple market, Sister Brown. Because that's where only the best animals were sacrificed. So all the good meat was in the temple market. But the question came up is, should we be eating this meat that has been offered to idols, and in some cases just offered in the sacrificial ceremonies that we were going, should we eat this meat? It was offered. It was offered. And there are idols in the temple, and you're doing just like the pagans. So it caused a whole bunch of disturbances. So now that meat that was offered in the temple to idols, where there was idol worship offered to idol God, was being sold in those temples, and people were buying it, eating it. And then when a new convert who had come out of that background objected to the fact, how can you guys be eating this meat? You say, you don't know what you're talking about. There ain't but one God. These gods are nothing. See, they had the superior knowledge. But Paul says, that may be causing a problem. And let's see why, Sister Barnes. Verse 5.
For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many.
Just addressing the knowledge portion, we know there's one God. You know that there's one God. And just because people worship many gods does not legitimize the fact that they are a God. They don't replace God. And you have that knowledge. But that knowledge gives you a certain amount of liberty and freedom. But Paul is here saying, I want you to get this, that just because you have some knowledge, not all knowledge, just because you know God, don't use that knowledge to abuse someone who's weaker in the faith. I'll show it to you. Verse 6.
But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him.
That's sort of the rallying summary phrase there, that particular verse. He's saying, I want you to remember as I go in, as I give this answer. And Paul, if you look at the way that this narrative is written, he's not as direct as he's been on some subjects. Because what happens is that when you're dealing with other human beings and dealing with feelings, first of all, you don't want to hurt them just to prove that you know something. Now, there may be times, and you know, the Lord has a way, I told you guys of each week of showing this. There may be times that you have to come hard and it doesn't appear that you love. But to me, first of all, if someone doesn't know, it's our responsibility to inform them. And that's why Paul has taken these first six verses here to talk about knowledge. He wants you to know he is not devaluing a knowledge. But he's just saying that knowledge is not greater than love. And just because you know something doesn't mean you know everything. And just because you know there is only one God, there are other folk that are having struggles with it, especially these new converts. So Paul, would you please for me, because you know, I'm a little anxious here. I thought we were going to talk about meat today. I thought we were going to talk about meat. Paul, I want to know what this meat issue is. Yeah, okay, yeah. They said don't go to the temple to buy it. And now you've invited someone over and you bought some filet mignons home, and you know, you're ready to dine. And the people said, I'm not eating that. And now you all offended. And now you give them a meat lesson. You give them a beef lesson. You know, you give them a pork lesson. You give them a lamb lesson. You give them an overall meat lesson, because you are not going to change your habits because y'all simply don't understand. I heard you, Sister Dorothy Pillow. I'm not changing my eating habits. Matter of fact, I got a steak on the grill today. Well, here's what Paul says. Remember, Sister Dorothy, I know you know, I know you don't know the Lord. I know that you know that the Lord is in you. You got it all down. You got your orthodoxy. You got your orthopraxy down. You are ready. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But listen to what Paul said. Verse 7, Sister Bonds.
Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled.
You see, Fred, there's some of the folk that will sit down at your table and say, I simply can't do that because I know that meat. I know where you bought that meat. You bought that meat in that same temple that worshiped idols. And that meat was offered to idols. And I simply can't do it. And Paul here describes their conscience as weak. And it's a funny phrase, Sister Pillow, because that weak conscience, you know, it's like when you're teaching a child, you know, they don't have, there's a certain body of knowledge that they have, but there's a lot that they don't have. And there's a lot that needs to be put together. There's a lot that they're not even ready for right now. So there's some things you just simply can't tell a child at a certain age because they're not ready for it. Doesn't make them a bad child. It's that they're just not ready for it yet. And Paul says, so is it with our spirituality. That those folk that have these questions about eating meat that was offered to idols, he says, you ought to listen. And he says, you not only need to listen, you need to love. I know you know some things, but do you love somebody? Do you understand? Do you know that there are folk that are still weak in the faith? And so he says, take that doctrine, that teaching that you have, and then demonstrate it. Because that's what love is. It's taking what you know about God and demonstrating it on a daily basis. And he says, and so it is in this area of meat consumption. Because he says, if you want to really know something, know this, Sister Bonds, verse 8.
But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse.
What are you saying, Paul? Paul's saying, are you letting meat determine your relationship with God? Meat doesn't make you spiritually just. Meat doesn't make you better than me, whether you eat it or you don't. The person that is condemning you for eating it is no better off than you condemning them for not eating it. It's unwarranted condemnation, and it should be, you should take what you know. They know, it was offered to idols. You know, idols ain't nothing. I'm going to eat this meat. And I know, you know, I know Bogan, Regina, they probably are in that court. You know, they don't eat that meat because they know. They know it's about relationship. It's not about religious practice. It's about relationship. But guess what? Paul is going to throw you a curveball. Just when you think, hey, I got this down. Nah, you come to my house, you want to eat what I serve. That's not love. But you've got the right to do it. You certainly got the right to eat. Understand, I don't want anybody to leave here today with the wrong message. This is not about preference. This is not about people who say, I don't have any religious spiritual or religious hang-ups about consuming meat. I just don't consume meat. And so they try to condemn you for me. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the religious practice of offering meat to idol gods and then serving that meat, that remaining portion, that third, or and sometimes two-thirds, because the priest didn't consume theirs and would sell it in that same market. Is it right to do that? And Paul says, it doesn't make you right if you eat it. It doesn't make you wrong if you don't eat it. And vice versa. Because it's all about love. It ain't about what you know. It ain't not about what you believe. Not about how you feel about the issue. The issue is, can you love? Can you love? And remember, he's already set the premise that they had weak conscience. So this is a brother that could be presumed weaker. Not necessarily, because it's one area. There are many folk that still have some hang-ups, Sister Ogletree, about certain things that have nothing to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ, but they simply don't do it. Verse 9.
But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak.
Y'all see verse 9 there that Sister Barnes just read? The most powerful verse in all of this scripture this morning. Because what Paul says is the reason why love is greater than knowledge. Verse 9 says, just think about it from a practical standpoint. If you've got a brother who thinks that that it is sin to eat this meat, and you encourage him to eat the meat, and it causes him to sin, because in his mind, he has sinned. He says, you've become a stumbling block. You who are strong and know better has become a stumbling block, has caused someone to slip because of this. Now, we've been talking about meat, but it applies to a whole bunch of other stuff other than meat. Because some of you condemn folk for what they do. And say that they shouldn't do it. And many of you encourage folk to participate in activity that you know will cause them harm. That's not love. If you know someone has an alcohol problem, why would you invite them to a fellowship and serve alcohol? Think about it. Ain't no prohibition against you doing it. None. Find it in the word for me. But the fact that you're serving it, knowing that that person is prone to overdrink, has had that problem, is in recovery, is fighting it every day, and now he's falling back. He or she. Your stumbling block. Now, you've sinned and they've sinned. That's what Paul is saying there. And that's why you don't do it. There's some things that you can do, but there are others that are weaker in the faith or weaker in other discipline areas that you don't want to encourage them. Facilitate their sin, rather. And that's what you're doing. You literally become a stumbling block. And Paul says, that is not love. You can do it. You can drink all the skull you want to. But you shouldn't. Because who are you affecting? Other folks see it. There are a lot of things, you know, but what we do, I've heard, you know, people this week all in dealing with this lesson talk about the things that they don't do no more. They don't dance no more. You know, they don't sing no more. Because these are things that they felt kept them from their relationship with the Lord. But we hope that you've gained the knowledge and the relationship with Jesus Christ enough to be able to govern your life accordingly, but understanding that everybody is not yet there. We are all maturing. It's a process. Knowledge is progressive. Maturation is a process. Keep that in mind. Verse 9, very powerful verse. Verse 10.
For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?
There are things you're going to do, Steve, that other folk that are weaker in the faith going to do. Sister Ogletree, there are things that you're going to say that other people that are weaker in the faith are going to hear. There's something. See, mature folk talk about mature things. That's why it's just like children. There's some conversations that they should not be in. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, they're not ready for it yet. And there are those that are weaker in the faith. Weaker, weaker, weaker. Not necessarily weak, just weaker than you. Because you have some progressive knowledge that you have matured in the process. You now have taken that knowledge and now you are able to apply wisdom. Well, the wisdom is you don't want to hurt anyone with the knowledge that you have. You want to help. That's the wise thing to do. So you sit there and you complain about those that are complaining about you because you're eating the meat from the temple and vice versa. What you got to do is that you got to correct it with the proper knowledge. Y'all, do y'all remember over in Acts, Minister Brown probably remembers chapter 10. You remember where Peter was having this issue about meat and had a dream and all of that and saw these various animals. Y'all, you remember that, Monty? You remember that, you know, and even Peter had to be corrected. Peter says, I'll eat nothing that is unclean. And in a vision, he was told, God made everything. And that means God can clean anything. He can clean you. He can clean anything. And so we have to be careful about religious practices. But the issue here is just because you have that body of knowledge, that's good for you. You have no problem eating meat. You know, have filet mignon. Not from the temple when you invite those who are weaker in the faith, who come out of idolatry. Because what Paul is saying here and for the past few verses is, you know, love supersedes idolatry. Love supersedes knowledge. Whatever you do, whatever you say, it ought to be based and principled in love. Because you don't want to embolden anybody to start participating in a practice that they've struggled with for a very long time. Verse 11.
And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died.
Because of your knowledge? Should the weaker one die? Did Christ not die for us all? I started this off with, my sin is not your sin and your sin is not my sin. But didn't Christ die for all sin? Just this week, Sister Pillows, I was confronted with an issue of what's too far? How do you let people and their practices continue on going to the detriment of the church? I will tell everyone that's on this Zoom call under the sound of my voice that, first of all, I love you because God loves you. And I love you so much that I am a fierce defender of God's word. I don't like to hear anyone leading anybody astray. So when you got folk that are coming in and saying, oh, if you eat this meat, you'll go to hell. That ain't in the word of God, folk. Where do you get this craziness from? If you paint your lips, shake your hips, and wave your fingertips, you'll go to hell. You're not saved. Sister Hollis, where did he get that from? I am a fierce defender of it. But even in defending that, I have to be very careful. Because when you say things, we're taught in 103, you got to say it with love, Deacon Richardson. I hate we ever got rid of that textbook because it's what it's all about. And that's what Paul is saying here, is that the correction has to be made, especially when people are getting far off. Because what will happen is that you can't let, just think about it. You can't let other folk control what you do because they don't have a knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when folk tell you, you got to jump up in the air and turn around 10 times and fall out. If you don't do that, you're not saved. That's crazy. But what you need to do is correct. Oh, crazy. Was that too strong? I'm sorry, Brother Davis. I'm sorry. You're the judge. I'm sorry. But, do it in love. You do it because you love it. Letting people observe practices that has nothing to do with their relationship with Jesus Christ, that's wrong too. But there's a way to do anything. As my bride of 50 years often says, at least once a week, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You got to say it with love. You simply got to say it with love. So then, Paul says in verse 12,
but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ.
Oh, let me get a good look at y'all. Let me look right into Randall's eyeballs there. You see what it says? See what it says, Pillow? Ogletree, did you hear Sister Barnes? She did not stutter when she read that. She said, but when you sin so against that brethren, when you come against that brethren, you sin against Christ. See, most folk think they can treat you any kind of way, Sister Hollis, and still love Christ. Oh, Brother Davis, they didn't hear it. Sister Davis, they did not hear that. They did not want to hear it. They were saying, Deacon Steve was doing so good. He was going to get off here. He ain't got on nobody today. But let me, this is what it's all about. We are a community. And we got people from all kinds of backgrounds. You know what our job is here at Resurrection? This is why, more importantly than any other thing we do, if we don't teach and share the word of God, we have missed divine revelation. Because it is only through the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we are able to love. You've got to know God to love. I still contend those who do not know God don't love. because he said one thing. He says, first of all, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the fool has said in his heart, there is no love, because God is love. God is the epitome of love. And what we do and the things we say and the things that we offer up and the things that we can do because we have liberty, if we cause that brother to sin, we sin against Christ. We sin against the very one who is Calvary's hero, who lived, died, and was resurrected and ascended into heaven. Fred, Davis, pick up your pens. He's the one who performed the parabolic model, who came down, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Regina, better take a note. I done gave you 6 answers to the test already. He says, that is the one that we sin against. You not only sin against the brother, you sin against Christ himself. God forbid. Take us home, Sister Bonds.
Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
Okay. Now, let me tell you, who is speaking? There's one person on the mic, whoever's mic is open. Who is speaking? Sister Bonds, you can. Your mic is open. Who's speaking? He says, wherefore, if me what?
If me make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh.
Did you see that? I? Don't skip that I, Sister Bonds. I will not. Matter of fact, put your first name there instead of I.
Shanta.
What? Shanta what?
Will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend.
Did you? Hey, Sister Ogletree, I saw you smiling back there. You said, man, he sure roped her into that. You know, he'll make sure that he didn't say T.G. Sneed. He said, let Sister Bond say that. Because, you know, Sister Ogletree knows that I'm carnivorous. I love some meat. But here's what Paul said. Paul says that if it causes my brother to slip, if it causes Dolores Ogletree to slip, I will not eat any meat as long as I'm around here. He felt that strong about it. It's an instruction to the church. It's not a condemnation of meat. It's not saying that you can't do it. It just says that anything meat here, And you know, here we're talking about, he's actually talking about me. It is not a metaphor, but in the application, we can use the metaphor. We can substitute anything. Paul says, anything that would cause my brother to sin, to fall back, to pick up the bottle, to start smoking the white line again, you know, to shooting up in his vein, you know, to stop falling out drunk, having blackouts, you know, anything like that, where I think I've got the liberty to do it, I will not do it if it's going to be a stumbling block for that brother. Because to do it, just like verse 9 says, is it'll cause a stumbling block, and it is in fact a sin against that brother and Jesus Christ. Concerns for a weaker brother. If you're really concerned about a weaker brother, love them. And one of the greatest ways you can love them is share the word of God with them. Tell them what the word says so that they can be strong in the faith also. That's why you need to be in evangelism. So that when people come up with all this aberrant behavior and all this aberrant doctrine, that you can feed, share, and say, "Now, come sup with me. This is the word. This is what the word says. And this is how it can apply. And I'll help you walk through it. And for this period of time that you're having problem about this good meat, this good nourishing meat, I'll walk with you and I'll restrain from doing it. You be my accountability partner. I'll be your accountability partner in this as we walk and grow through this process." Knowledge is progressive, but maturation is a process. God bless you. We'll see you guys next week.